again, the story here of the resurrection. It's recorded, of course, in all four of the Gospels, but I just chose today to do the one here in Matthew, Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were sleeping. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story has been widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. Father, thank you for this that we read here in your holy word. Help us now to understand it and to understand how it applies to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. How would you like to have been one of those guards? They were usually given their orders, told what to do. They didn't have much choice. But remember, these soldiers, they had been there on Friday too. They had been there when the earth was jolted by a huge earthquake. When Christ, who was hanging there on the cross, when he breathed his last, they were there. They were there when the sun went black and everything got dark, dark as night. They were there when Jesus had done a lot of his miracles. They knew that this man was unusual, that this was not a usual case. They had never before been given the job of guarding a grave. Suppose you were given the duty of going out there into the cemetery somewhere and pointed out a grave there. Now, you watch that and guard that because that person said they're going to rise again. How would you like that? And they had heard the rumors that Jesus had specifically said he was going to rise again on the third day. A little spooky. They were there all night on Friday night after he had been crucified. They were there all day on Saturday when the Jews took their day of rest. And they were there all night Saturday night. And they knew that now this next day, Sunday, that's the third day, isn't it? You think they were sleeping? I think they were a little anxious. Kind of wondering. Remember, this man has raised people from the dead. They might have been even a little spooked by it all. Then as the sun began to rise again, the earth was jolted by a huge earthquake. They were rattled to the depths of their being, I'm sure. And then the appearance of an angel blinded them. And all of a sudden, they felt the strength in their body just leave. And they collapsed on the ground. How long were they in that condition? I don't know. It doesn't tell us. How long was the angel there? We don't know that either for sure. Was the angel still there when the women came? Yes. The Bible says that he spoke to the women. Did the women see the guards? They must have felt the earthquake. They were astonished themselves to find that the stone had been rolled away and that angel sitting on the stone. And then the empty tomb. How do you explain that? Now again, kind of put yourself in the position of those guards. What should they do? They had no strength. They had lost their captor. They had failed. Now it tells us, as we read here, some of them, it doesn't say all of them, but some of them went to the elders early in the morning. And I wonder even about those Jews, those chief priests, and how were they feeling about this time? They too had heard that he was going to rise again on the third day. That's why the guards were there. They must have felt the earthquake too. They knew about the miracles Christ had been doing. They knew about his power. They knew that he could actually even read their minds. So when early in the morning, those wide-eyed guards came pounding on their door, they may not have been all that surprised, but they must have been kind of terrified. What do we do now? Well, they got all the rest of them together and they discussed it. What could they do? How could they deny this? So instead, they make up this story about all these guards, these soldiers who knew that their life was in stake if they fell asleep. And they convinced them to say that that's what happened, that they actually fell asleep, and those scared fishermen, followers of Jesus, came and stole the body away. You notice they didn't make any attempt to try to find the body. That would have been futile, and they knew that. They didn't even look. They just passed off that story. How did they get away with this? How did they explain that? How did the guards feel about that personally? I kind of wonder. Did they ever tell the real story? How did Matthew find out about this if they didn't? How could they have kept it to themselves? I don't think they did. They had the facts. They had the evidence. You know, often we say it's kind of strange that Jesus, after he rose from the dead, didn't go to the Pharisees and the scribes and show himself to them so that they would know that he had risen from the dead. But he really didn't have to. He had given them plenty of evidence right here. They must have been hardened, really hardened in their heart to deny this. To at that point be able to live with a lie like that. It often amazes me how people can live with a lie that they know what the facts really are, but they just refuse to accept it. It's amazing how hard our human nature can become. That's why Christ had to die for us, because we are that kind of people. But look at what he did for those who were his own, those who confessed their sin, who repented, who had the evidence and acted on it. We have it. We have that evidence. The Pharisees had a predicament here that they never could get over, really. There were crowds of people who had been coming to Jerusalem on that particular week, because that was the great Passover week, but they had come for other reasons too. They had come, the Bible tells us, they came because they wanted to see Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. There were many who had come there personally to be healed. This was fantastic. Jerusalem, the place where Christ was going to be, there were the sick and the lame and the blind and those who had come because they wanted to be healed. Now the Pharisees had killed him. They weren't too popular, I'm sure, among the ordinary people. Their healer is gone. The real physician was gone. So the Jews knew, but yet they didn't believe. Then there were those who wanted to believe and were just waiting for an explanation so they could believe. And they got it. To those with open hearts, Jesus came. He came personally. How would you like to have been one of those two that was walking down that lonely road to Emmaus and to be joined by Jesus himself, and they didn't recognize him, but then to have him explain what happened? Jesus explained to them what happened. You know, he has done that for you and me. We have it right here in the scriptures. These are the words of Christ. This is God's word. He's given us that personal explanation right here. You can read it for yourself. You can take it personally into your life. How did they react when they realized that they had met Jesus? He had explained the scriptures to them, and now they were there. They were witnesses to the fact that he had risen from the dead. Those two disciples, you know, it was late in the day. They had walked a long way from Jerusalem, but they were so excited, they turned right around and went all the way back to Jerusalem that same night. And they found the rest of the disciples gathered together, and then they told them about it, and they didn't believe it either until Jesus appeared to them. And then he appeared to all of them, so that every one of them had that witness within themselves. Thomas. I'm so glad for Thomas. He doubted. He said, unless I see it personally, I won't believe it. Unless I can actually see Christ and I can look in his hands and see the scars, and I can look at that scar in his side where they pierced him with that spear, unless I can see that, I won't believe that it's really Jesus. I'm glad that he was doubtful, because then we have that proof. Jesus came to him too. And it is an amazing thing. What did they see when they saw Christ, that risen Christ? This is important for us, because when we are resurrected, we're going to be like him. So we want to know, what did they see? What was this resurrected Christ really like? They had seen him the last time Thomas had seen him. It was that beaten, bloody, mangled, battered body hanging on a cross, limp and dead. His heart had stopped. the organs in his body had stopped. Everything was dead. They carried that limp body and laid it there in the grave. And now all of a sudden, here he is, and he's big, and he's beautiful, and he's whole and healthy. His body was completely restored, except for just one thing, those scars. Somehow, his body was totally brand new, but God left those scars there. And when we get to heaven, there's going to be billions of people there who have been saved. And we might have a question, how are we going to recognize Jesus? Well, I don't think you'll have any problem. But one way for sure is going to be those scars. Then you'll know which one is Jesus. His glorified body has the scars. There's nothing that has shaken the whole world as much as this. This is the event, the pivotal event of all history. It is the foundation of all Christianity. Without it, without the resurrection, there is no salvation, there is no redemption, there is no anything. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul makes this statement. He said he rose again for our justification. Well, didn't he die for our justification? Wasn't it his death that paid for our sins? Yes. Yes, it was. Well, then, how is it that his resurrection had anything to do with our justification? Think about it. If he had not risen from the dead, everything he did on the cross would have been meaningless. It would have been empty. It would have been powerless. So the resurrection put that stamp of God's approval on it. It validated everything that Christ did on the cross. It made salvation real. It gave us the foundation that we stand on. I like the way Peter puts it. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. We have been born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So it hinges on that. It's based on that. That's the focal point of our faith. That's how we are born again. That's what we are born again to, is that fantastic hope. Now, it's good to know all that. But you really don't know it until he has brought it to you personally. And that's the part that is so critical. You know, if you read about this in Luke, all the Gospels have the story about it, but some of them include things that the others leave out. In Luke, it talks about Mary. She was sitting there outside the grave weeping because she had seen the empty grave. She had seen the tomb and she realized his body was gone. And she was convinced it was stolen or that they had moved it or something. And then she sees this man standing beside her and thought he was just the gardener. And so she says to him, "Where did you put him? Just tell me and I'll go take care of it." And then that man spoke her name, Mary. And she recognized him. That was Jesus. And that's when we recognize Jesus. When he makes it personal. When he speaks your name. And lets you know that he did this for you. And you are one of those that he died for. You are one of those that he rose again for. And it is to you that he is giving the power of the resurrection. To you personally. How do we come to know that? We hear him personally right here in his word. The Holy Spirit's job is to open our eyes to see that this really means us. Read about it. It's there. It's as if it has your name on it. Jesus died for you. He rose again for you, for your justification. And he's coming again for you, for me. He is alive. Jesus is alive. We know that because he lives. So let's close by turning to number 238, another one of those happy Easter songs, Because He Lives.